Welcome to today's edition of the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show podcast.
It's a glorious Wednesday across the country. I am Clay Travis. He is Buck Sexton. And we are celebrating a clean sweep in the state of Virginia, the birthplace of presidents. Virginia is for lovers. You sent a message that we all love in this country about not standing for woke totalitarianism, about the importance of moms and dads being involved in their kids' schooling, and also an important metric on an early read on the Biden agenda. Just 10 months into Joe Biden's presidency, we have already seen Virginia swing around 12 or 13 points. Biden won the state of Virginia by 10 points in 2020. Glenn Youngkin just won by around 2.5 points-ish in the state of Virginia last night. Plus, new attorney general, new lieutenant governor, attorney general, Cuban, Hispanic victory in the state of Virginia, the new lieutenant lieutenant governor, a black woman, former Marine, a diverse and impressive and a very winning trio in the state of Virginia, plus the House of Delegates reportedly swinging back to Republican control as well. A 100% clean sweep driven, based on the exit polling, by the moms of America, suburban women, highly educated, highly involved in their children's schooling, said enough is enough with this woke agenda. It is time to be proud to be an American, and you are not going to get between my kids and their schooling. And that, to me, is the biggest story. Not only there, Buck, Minnesota, by 14 points, shoots down the idea of defunding the police inside the city of Minneapolis. You've got Seattle electing their first city Republican, reportedly since 1989, to be involved in legal issues in that city. And you also have a New Jersey of all places, extremely close election that is going to come down to a few thousand votes. Right now, the Democrat is up by a few thousand votes, but this thing could not have been any closer. Right now, both of them have over 49% of the vote. And that is where we are as we start off the third hour of the program. It was a damn good night for Republicans everywhere.
Absolutely. And, you know, one thing that I think is coming across in a lot of ways is that for the Democrats are running into people not thinking of politics as theoretical and thinking of it as actual lived experience day to day. What I mean by this is, when they talk about things like, oh, we're going to spend trillions here, trillions there, it's going to be investments for the future and Green New Deal and energy, okay, that might sound good to some people. But when the issues that are actually on the table or on the ballot are things like, am I safe in my town, in my city? Are my kids safe when they go to, when they're going to school, when they're coming home? And how is my child being educated? Those are things that people have actual experience of and matter in a way that it becomes difficult for politicians to spin, right? You know, if your city, I mean, I can tell people here in New York, it's more dangerous than it's been in a while. New York City's more dangerous. All the data bears this out. It's not just my perception, but you also can just tell there are more people that are getting assaulted and attacked. You hear about it. It's a feeling you have on the streets here. It's true of every major city in the country, really, for the last 18 months. So then, Clay, when the Democrats come out and they give this whole virtue signaling, oh, we're going to end mass incarceration, let's have more Soros-backed district attorneys in major cities who are letting people out for violent crimes. Of course, the insurrectionists of January 6th have to be held in solitary, but letting people out for violent crimes or not punishing them really at all. You say, hold on a second. I don't have to be that involved in politics and in an ideological level to understand as a parent, as a citizen, as an American, this is a problem. And only one side is offering up realistic solutions, realistic ways to approach this and fix this. Then defund the police. You and I have been saying it. The dumbest political slogan, really in our lifetimes. I mean, I don't know what else could really be.
Certainly in the 21st century.
Certainly, yeah. Certainly in the last 20 years. And yet it caught fire with the Democrat Party. And unfortunately, a lot of buildings caught fire as a result of it. And we saw what happened. People know, they feel, they understand. Same thing with the schools. I mean, schools was a big part of it. But I also think folks know that they've been lied to about things like reimagining police and defund police. And they're sick of it. And that's what you saw. Yeah, I know Virginia, you can't extrapolate everything across the whole country from one state. But 1 year after going 10 points for a Democrat, I think people feel like they've been swindled. Or at least anybody who is willing to think rationally about it understands we're not getting what the Democrats promised a year ago. It's not happening.
Yeah, and now we start to think about impact going forward. It's worth noting that Joe Biden and the Biden administration is not speaking at all. They flew back after being overseas. Biden, as recently as yesterday in Scotland, was saying he expected for McAuliffe to win in Virginia. Kamala Harris was arguing whatever happened in 2021 would set the table for 2022 and 2024, one of the few things that I think she's gotten right. And Ron DeSantis is now calling the Joe Biden administration the Brandon administration. Listen to this. The branding of the Biden administration can't get any worse. And I think Democrats are aware that they're spinning rapidly towards an electoral disaster. Here's DeSantis earlier today.
If you look at what's going on with some of the big corporations with their woke agenda, when you look at the Biden, the Brandon administration in terms of what they're doing.
I spoke last night, Buck, at a mother's event in Williamson County, my home county here in Tennessee, and the crowd erupted in a Let's Go Brandon cheer, too. And what that represents is the incompetence that the Biden administration has had put upon itself. And I really don't see any way, Buck, looking forward, how they climb out of this. A part of me thinks the Democrats may try and rush through the reconciliation bill as well as infrastructure because they're aware that they're not going to have any control over anything for the next 3 years and they're just going to take it on the chin and try to get something through now. That's not the rational choice in terms of trying to build for 2022, but they might have gotten such a shellacking that they're convinced there's nothing they can do to stop the red tide from overwhelming them. And they just try to use whatever limited power they have now. I don't think they have a lot of good options.
And what are they going to do if they lose even one part of the Congress? If they lose a majority, let's say, in the House, which I think is, I mean, the odds makers, we'll be looking at it as it gets closer. Whatever it shows now, who really cares? But, I mean, it's already likely that the Republicans will take it back, and they might take it back by, who knows, 20 or 30 seats. And in that situation, what do the Democrats have? Oh, remember, Barack Obama, when he was president for 8 years, would go around Congress. He would use his pen and his phone. We also have a different Supreme Court now. And we don't have a president who has the political capital within his own party to get away with that kind of stuff, I think. Because what you're going to see is a Biden administration that is going to be stuck because the hard left won't allow them to make any real concessions to the center. Triangulation, I think, for this, for the Biden White House, it's not a possibility because there'd be such a revolt from within the Democrat left socialist wing of the party, which is increasingly the vanguard. It's not like it's off on its own, right, and no one pays attention to it, right? The squad, these people have real resonance within the Democrat Party who are far left. And so they're realizing right now, you know, the first year is the year to get stuff done. Clay, what did they get done? What happened for the Democrats in this first year of the Biden administration compared to the, I mean, I remember, you remember, first year of the Trump administration. I mean, yeah, there was all the Russia collusion insanity, but in terms of what Trump was doing, people were psyched about it. We're saying it's a great year. Economy was roaring. Things felt like it was really picking up and moving along well. I don't know what Biden's move is here other than to be hiding Biden in the basement, and he may spend the second year of his administration. Yeah, he'll squint into the cameras and talk a little bit about jobs and investments and jobs, you know, the same stuff he's been doing for 40 years. But you're going to look at this guy and say he really just needs a blanket across his knees and some applesauce. I mean, this is just not working.
There's no doubt. And that's why I think there's going to be two divergent arguments that are taking place right now in the Democratic Party. In fact, I guarantee you this is what's being the argument's going to be on Capitol Hill. The progressives, Buck, are going to say the reason why we lost is because we didn't pass infrastructure and because we didn't pass the Build Back America agenda.
Right.
The moderates are going to say the reason why we lost is because we're trying to pass infrastructure and the Build Back America plan, and people don't like what we're trying to do. So the moderates are going to say, if we pass this, it's going to lead us off the cliff. The liberals, the progressives, are going to say, if we don't pass this, it's going to lead us off the cliff. The internal civil war, to me, is just exacerbated to a larger degree based on the results that we got here. I tend to believe the Manchin world is correct, and that what they need to do is maybe pass infrastructure and just sit back and not even try anything else. But I don't know that's going to win.
Let me just say this also, because the way this is all framed by the media is totally wrong. And this came up when we were having our discussion. If you missed it, go back, listen to Clay and Buck podcast, wherever you get your podcast. The iHeart app is a great place to do it. In the first hour of the show, we talked to Senator Rubio, and I said to him, I said, this notion that the Democrats have a mandate for any of the kind of things that they're talking about here with this massive spending and the expansion of the welfare state and all the Green New Deal stuff and universal pre-K and all this. I mean, the truth is the system as it's set up is working insofar as there is basically gridlock. It should be in gridlock. We have a 50-50 Senate. We have a handful of Democrat advantage seats in the House. And we got a Biden administration with no real vision other than spend more money. And of course, the progressives, just like the commies, are always going to say real progressivism has never been tried. That's why we're having the problems we are in the election that just happened last night. But Clay, there shouldn't be transformational. There should be right now a rethinking of what the Democrats believe they should be pushing, what they should be pushing for. And instead, they act like they've got a mandate. There's no mandate for Joe Biden.
You're exactly right. The challenge is there's never going to be a mandate for Joe Biden. And that's where the Democrats are sitting back right now, kind of caught in that debate, because the reality is if they don't pass it now, they're not going to be able to pass it next year because they're going to lose the House. They may well lose the Senate. If Virginia is a predictor of where things are going to go, they're going to lose both, and they're going to lose both substantially.
Do you worry at all, though, that maybe Manchin's moderation within the party, let's say Manchin gets his way, because they're going to pass something, because if they pass nothing, then they might as well not even show up for the
midterms. And his way would probably be infrastructure and then a pause.
Right. If he gets his way, though, is he actually saving the Democrats from themselves, despite what they may think? I worry that that may, you know, that essentially by reading the room, by taking the temperature of the American people, Manchin and Sinema at some level are preventing the Democrat Party from going over the cliff like lemmings.
Well, it's a good point. Now, Manchin, though, I think is going to let them hang themselves, because his argument has been, let's do infrastructure, let's pause on the rest. If you guys believe the American public supports all these other things, run on it for 2022. I think the Democrats are going to run on a far left agenda in 2022. I don't think they can help themselves. And I think they're going to get absolutely destroyed in 2022. And then they'll have like their come to Jesus moment where they have to decide what kind of nominee are we going to pick for 2024. And by the way, it's a big decision Republicans are going to have to make too, because what's Trump going to do? How is the Republican 2024 sort of calculus going to play out? What is the roster of potential candidates going to look like? I think it's such an utterly fascinating time to contemplate. But what we do know is we've set the table now for I saw Meghan McCain call it this, and I thought it was pretty funny, a red wedding. For those of us who follow Game of Thrones, it's not a red tide. It's a red wedding, and the Democrats are going to be the victims if you watch Game of Thrones.
Still haunted by that episode.
Yeah, it's a tough episode. Yeah.
You've heard us talk about how important it is to have a VPN to protect your online privacy. A VPN is a virtual private network, and it's an easy-to-use app that you use for privacy. Choosing a VPN you trust is equally as important. We like and believe that ExpressVPN is the best VPN on the market. Here's why. ExpressVPN doesn't log your online activity. There are no records of your web searches. They developed a technology, Trusted Server, that makes their VPN servers incapable of storing any data at all. ExpressVPN now uses Lightway. I mean, their speed is incredible. It's a new VPN protocol they engineered to make user speeds faster than ever. So when you're online, you want good speed and no buffering, right? You don't want to get slowed down. ExpressVPN ensures that doesn't happen. Last thing that really sets ExpressVPN apart is how easy it is to use. You don't need any technical skills to get set up. Clay and I have it. It's easy. It's an app. You sign up, you're in, you're using it, it's running. Just fire up the app, tap one button, and you're connected.
And right now, you can sign up at expressvpn.com/clay today and get an extra 3 months for free on a one-year package. That's expressvpn.com/clay. Visit expressvpn.com/clay today to learn more.
Welcome back to the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show. Third hour, we are flying by here. A lot of talk about education and schools today because that was the central issue based on the exit polling and all the data. And just we can all see it in Virginia with this huge win for Glenn Youngkin. Looks, unfortunately, I'm seeing here the latest. You got Citarelli behind Murphy in the New Jersey governor's race by tens of thousands of votes right now. So doesn't look likely that that gap will be closed, but we'll continue to follow that as we need to tell you what the end of it. But the point is, it's very close in New Jersey. Schools, though, are an issue not only because of critical race theory, but also because of COVID and because of the lockdowns that happened, the shutdowns of schools that occurred. And I argue this all along. So did Clay. Schools absolutely should not have been closed in the fall of 2020. It was an absolute disgrace. It was bending the knee to the teachers' unions. And when Fauci is asked about it, here's the kind of Fauci-eyed crap he says.
You know, I think it's very difficult to go back in the retrospectoscope and figure that out. There were so many complicating issues going on. Better to look forward right now. I think it's going to make the issue of schools much easier, much safer as we get more and more children. Before, we would surround the children with vaccinated people, like adults, like teachers, like school personnel. Now, if you have the children in addition to the personnel, that diminishes the risk considerably.
Yeah, he bent the knee to the teachers' unions. It was a disgrace, and that's why he doesn't want to go back.
And because of people like Fauci, we're going to have to talk about this some tomorrow, Buck, but the battles aren't over, even though we had a big win last night in many different elections all over the country. The city of San Francisco is becoming the first in the world, Buck, to mandate vaccine passports for five-year-olds. Crazy. If you want to take your five-year-old to McDonald's in San Francisco, you're going to have to show a vaccine card in order to get into the restaurant to order a Big Mac for your kids.
This is a mental illness now, just so everyone understands. That kind of policy comes from mass mental illness. That is not a thing normal, well-adjusted adults would support.
It's insane. And I mean, I've said this before, I'll keep reiterating it. I'm not personally vaccinated because I had COVID already and I have natural immunity, but I'm not getting my young kids vaccinated. I'm just not. And I think there are a lot of parents out there listening to me right now who are going to make the same choice because I look at the data and they're not at risk.
Every homeowner should really benefit from today's lower mortgage rates. It's a gift and time is of the essence. The most efficient way of saving hundreds of dollars a month simply by refinancing to one of these incredibly low rates is open to you, friends. Incredibly low rates. Think of how much that can help. Pick up the phone and call American Financing. I mean it. I am doing it myself right now. I'm using American Financing for a mortgage. I just sent them the paperwork this week. Their service is second to none. Get a free mortgage review by calling American Financing. They can save you. This is key. Up to $1,000 a month. I mean, tens of thousands in the long term. You don't want to miss this. It only takes 10 minutes to get started. There are no upfront fees to pay, and you could postpone up to two mortgage payments. Call American Financing at 800-777-8109. That's 800-777-8109. Or visit AmericanFinancing.net. American Financing, NMLS 182334, NMLSConsumerAccess.org.
Welcome back in. Glorious Wednesday all across the land. We are celebrating a monstrous day for the Republican Party in the state of Virginia. Sanity returning, the woke agenda going down, and defund the police in Minnesota. A tight race that it looks like Democrats are going to narrowly pull out in New Jersey, which no one expected to be remotely close. Massive movement in favor of the Republican Party there. Quadruple wins in Virginia. Seattle elects a Republican inside of the city government, which never happens. All of those things transpiring on 2021. The Democrats are trying to make sense of exactly what caused all of that. We've got a montage of some of the reactions from MSNBC and CNN trying to make sense of the calamity that has befallen the Dems.
Republican Glenn Youngkin has been elected governor of Virginia, defeating Democrat Terry McAuliffe. This is the announcement that Joe Biden will not be happy to hear.
A very bad night for Joe Biden and Democrats, and frankly, a great night for America.
Biden winning the state, as you'll recall, by 10 points against former President Trump. And tonight, Democrats, they're facing a bruising defeat.
Trying to make Glenn Youngkin Donald Trump clearly didn't work.
This will be a big postmortem for the Democrats.
Bad night for Democrats.
The party is not where those voters are.
Bad night for Democrats. Good night if you're an Atlanta Braves fan.
Clay,
good
it turns
night if
out,
you are an Atlanta Braves fan.
Yeah, it turns out the Democrat approach to anything they don't like is racist. It's very obvious. This is what they do all the time. That's not a compelling message, and it's particularly weak in terms of politics. I mean, look, it's effective sometimes in some contexts, unfortunately, but it's particularly weak in an election where you don't have Trump. They tried to bring the boogeyman, so to speak, of Trump into this Virginia election. Now, I know Trump is very effective in other places and other ways. This was not about Trump. This election that happened in Virginia was in no way about the former president. The Democrats were desperate to make it about him, to try to come up with some reason for why they should be in charge. Oh, because they'll defend you from January 6th and the Trump insurrectionists, which is completely insane. And they never had a compelling message. And it was amazing. Every time Terry McAuliffe spoke about education, it kept getting worse. So this is what I think is part of the takeaway here. Make Democrats talk about this. Make rich, often white Democrats explain why you should have no school choice, why you shouldn't have the right as a parent to even go and voice your concern about what's being taught to your kids, why you should sit down, shut up, get your kids vaxxed, mask them up all day in school, and do as you're told, peasant, because the education experts know what's really supposed to happen here. I hope that that is their approach all across the country. Because this can be, Virginia can be replicated in so many other states as a political fight, and conservatives will win. A lot of people have been saying for a while, why isn't school choice? Why isn't actually making a better future for all kids one that is blind to skin color, intersectionality, critical race theory, all this stuff? Doesn't take any of that into account. Just the best schools for every kid possible in every place. That's a compelling message that can actually get people who are honestly transactional in the way they approach voting. What does it mean for me? I vote for you. What do I get? Oh, I get better schools for my kids, or I at least have somebody that'll speak to those issues in a way that's earnest and serious. It's winning. It's winning.
Buck, so well said. I think we're also seeing the post reaction to school having been shut down for all of 2020. I think that was the ignition that got all the moms so fired up. I think in retrospect, if Donald Trump could go back in the fall of 2020 and argue for opening up all schools forcefully, that might have won him the election, right? If he had said, I believe as president, every school needs to be open, and he had started, I know he said it, but if he had made that the focal point of his campaign, I think he started to light the ignition, right? Started to light the fire that is burning so brightly for so many suburban women right now over education. Let me just say this too, Buck. Everything is racist, which is effectively the Democratic Party's default platform right now. That's a luxury of good times argument. And let me explain what I mean by that. Not that racism isn't significant, but just that when you are focusing on racism as a primary campaign issue, it means that lots of other things are pretty good, right? That there isn't a major crime issue, that the border isn't a sieve, that inflation isn't skyrocketing, that unemployment isn't at a high rate, because right now the border's a mess, inflation is a disaster, the economy is an unmitigated disaster, crime is at 30-year highs, COVID still isn't in any way contained like Biden claimed it was, and education is a mess. All of those things are pocketbook issues that directly affect white, black, Asian, and Hispanic people on a day-to-day basis, and they aren't necessarily going to focus on something as systemic as racism, right? Like, everything is racist doesn't register when you're having to pay $5 or more for a gallon of gas.
Republicans need to lean into, to put their shields up and their helmets on the culture war issues. They have to do this. They have to actually say, we are not going to just cede all of this to the other side.
Yes.
And pretend that we'll establish some neutral playing field in the future. I think one of the great, and by the way, a hat tip I've meant to give on the show, Chris Rufo, all the work he's done over the last, for years, but particularly over the last year, showing people, I mean, literally showing them critical race theory, as in the training materials for municipal employees, for schools, obviously, showing people what's really going on. This has real impact. We do not live in a world in which if we let the left have their way, they're going to play fair and they're going to just educate our kids well. They're going to indoctrinate your children to their preferred ideology. And while they're doing so, let math scores slip, get rid of advanced math and reading classes, create equity, so-called equity, at the exclusion of excellence in the classroom, and think they're doing a favor for everybody in the process because, oh, they're so virtuous. These are issues, these are areas where it is essential for any conservative anywhere in the country in a race, or if they're in office right now, to say, we will take up this fight. Let the Democrats be the party of there are 37, genders, and there's climate change that we all have to be up late at night freaking out about. What was
74 pronouns.
Yeah, 74 pronouns. Yeah. Greta Thunberg is a global hero for her lectures about climate change. The whole thing. Let them be the party of lib elites who then just promise to spend all of your money while inflation's going up. Now people are realizing nothing's really free. Let them be the party that lives in fantasy land. Let the Republicans, let conservatives be the party of, we're going to do things rooted in reality that will make your lives incrementally. We're not promising to make all your problems go away. We're not going to take away the ability you have to make the wrong choice even sometimes for yourself. This goes now, of course, to a whole lot of health issues and other things. It's about whether we create a framework for freedom and prosperity. You can't do it unless you lean in on these cultural issues. You can't do it unless you take up
right.
the fight in the culture war.
Republicans should be the party of freedom, period. Republicans should be the party of jokes. Republicans should be the party of creative expression. I think that's the direction things have gone. Republicans should be the party of the First Amendment. Shout out to all of our listeners who made Virginia happen. Many of you made it out to the polls. I also think we need to give a shout out, Daily Wire. They did a fantastic job with Matt Walsh, the stories out of Loudoun County that otherwise might have been ignored.
Luke Rosiak
broke that story for the Daily Wire. Jeremy Boring, Ben Shapiro, Matt Walsh, Candace Owens, that crew, I think did a really good job of illuminating that issue, in addition to all you guys out there listening to us who made big investments and big moves as well to make this happen. I want to tell you about Mike Lindell. He's the inventor of MyPillow and his team. They fit us for our own pillows and introduced us to their ever-growing list of incredible products that started it all. They had the MyPillow, but now they got towel sets, slippers, robes, mattress toppers, Giza sheets. They got everything. You can trust Mike Lindell to give you a great night's sleep because the sheets are made from the world's best cotton, Giza. Ultra soft and breathable, yet extremely durable with a luxurious finish. I love being home because I like sleeping in my Giza Dream Sheets. They're available in multiple colors, styles, and sizes. And for a limited time, the Giza Dream Sheets are buy one, get one free. Buck, how does everybody get hooked up?
So easy. All you have to do is go to MyPillow.com, click on Radio Listener Specials. You can get the Giza Dream Sheets, buy one, get one free. Make sure you type in the promo code, though, when you get the checkout, Clay and Buck. Again, that website is MyPillow.com. Click on the Radio Listener Specials to get the Giza Dream Sheets. Buy one, get one free. It's a great deal. I got three pairs at home. I love these sheets. Use code Clay and Buck at checkout to make sure you get that buy one, get one free deal. Or you can call 800-792-3269. That's 800-792-3269. Closing up shop here today on the Clay and Buck Show. If you missed any part of it, please go check us out. The podcast is available on the iHeart app, Spotify, Apple Podcasts. Put up by hour, so if you missed any hour of it, you can just go right to that hour, listen in, catch up with what we talked about. Also, clayandbuck.com is our website. We have transcripts from the show. We have stories we're talking about there. I mean, come for the astute political analysis. Stay for the Clay's cat photos. So those are the things you can get on clayandbuck.com. And, there's one thing that Clay and I haven't really taken into account today. And that is the Democrats have a secret weapon, a super duper secret weapon that they're now going to have to deploy in the days and weeks ahead to right the ship, so to speak, of the Democrat Party. And that is, of course, the President of the United States.
For example, one of the reasons why I decided to talk about the need to deal with the operation and the gouging that occurs in some of the pricing of beef and chicken and other things is that that's why I think that's why I indicated to you we're going to look at whether or not there's a violation of antitrust laws and what they're doing. So there's a lot to look at, but the bottom line is that I think and anyone who would prefer, as bad as things are in terms of prices helping hurting families now, trade this Thanksgiving for last Thanksgiving.
Okay, Clay.
That is so bad. That's Biden on inflation, by the way. The question he was asked was what he was doing
about inflation. I mean, just put aside, if he were a relative at your Thanksgiving dinner table, And that was what he decided to weigh in at his age. You would probably carefully go over and just say, hey, like, do you need a nap? You know, are you, how are you doing? You seem a little tired. Are you all right? This is the President of the United States.
It's embarrassing. And I feel in the same way that you would at Thanksgiving. Biden mentioned Thanksgiving there. You feel a degree of, discomfort and sadness when anybody loses their mental faculty like that. Every single one of us out there has been with an elderly relative at Thanksgiving who just sounded like Joe Biden did, trying to tell a story or explain himself. The difference is that person has never been the leader of the free world before. And when you look, I just keep coming back to this, Buck. When you look at the pictures of presidents when they enter office and when they leave office, how much does the presidency age, even a relatively young man like Bill Clinton or Barack Obama or George W. Bush? They look markedly different when they leave office. Joe Biden is about to turn 79. The stresses and pressures on him are getting worse, and his decision making is not going to get better. And so the idea that he's going to be able in any way to put forth any sort of rational leadership. I mean, this is where I don't envy this situation at all, because that clip we just played, they're watching it in China. They're watching it in Russia. They know that we have an enfeebled, mentally weak leader, and they are going to try to take advantage of him. That's how the geopolitical climate of the world works.
I think they already are taking. I think they have been taking advantage of him.
But that works to all of our disadvantages, whether you're a Republican or Democrat. I don't want a decrepit, incompetent president like Biden right now.
Now you also have to start to think about, and I understand this is way out there prognostication, but people have been talking about it from the beginning, whether Biden actually really runs for a second term. If he faces a split Congress where all of it, you know, now there is really no agenda and he's effectively accomplished almost nothing. And I'm going to accomplish from the perspective of the Democrats. There's nothing they can really point to. You have to wonder, but then they have to deal with the very unfortunate decision of the Vice President, Kamala Harris, who the same way that they should have known, Clay, what the mood of the country was last night. Virginia should not have been the surprise to Democrats that it was, but they live in a bubble. They live in a fantasy land that they create. And that's why watching MSNBC was hilarious, because these people are all they do all day is look at politics. You and I knew that Youngkin was in great shape and he looked like he was going to win this. Why didn't they know?
Our audience knew. Yeah. We told our audience.
Of course. I mean, everyone who reached out just said, yeah, Youngkin's going to come through. And yet they're shocked by this. And it's because they don't really know that. I mean, they aren't really in touch with much of the country that they seek to govern and really to rule over more than to govern. And the Biden administration is floundering. I mean, what do they do to get this back on track? I mean, I was kidding, obviously, when I said Joe Biden is a secret weapon. Who is? They deployed everybody they had. They went with their A-list to help out McAuliffe in Virginia. Didn't put a dent in things. Did nothing. And that's because people are seeing, hold on a second, you're not actually good at governing. You're good at narrative creation and left-wing propagandizing. That's not enough for the people who actually make decisions based upon what's really happening. There's 35 to 40% of the country, unfortunately, that are going to be showing up in 2024 with two masks on because Fauci hasn't told them it's safe to go outside yet, and we know who they're going to vote for.
I think the only asset you can say that Joe Biden has right now is Kamala Harris being so awfully incompetent that she has lower approval ratings than he does. Because the long knives would be out for Joe Biden, and they would be talking about replacing him with Kamala Harris if she had any kind of significant approval. Because what they don't want to do in the Democratic Party is they don't want to have an incompetent lame duck who doesn't have any of the powers of incumbency for an election in 2024, right? That's what they're afraid of having happen here, and I think that's what's likely to happen. And by the way, as we finish off the show, I just want to give a shout out to all the moms out there that led the revolution in Virginia and have had such an impact all over this country. I know how hard so many of these women have worked, Buck, to fight mask mandates, to stand up on behalf of their children. I spoke to a mom's group last night in Williamson County. I saw them show up at the school board. They changed America. They changed America last night. They really did. And they can change it again next year if they keep up the same steadfast optimism.
This is the beginning of a political movement if we seek to make it so. Those of us who want a different future for the country, conservatism now has been mobilized. We know what the template is. We know what the issues are. We know where to go. Safe streets, better schools. Start with that. Safe streets, better schools.
Everybody's
secure the border. And Clay, we're gonna run the table in the midterm elections. Let's just focus on that. Let's not get all into, oh, but what about this or that? No. We focus on what matters. We win elections. We help the country. That's the way this goes forward. I'm excited about our prospects. It's nice to have a victory day. And congrats, obviously, to the Atlanta Braves.
The Atlanta Braves. It was an amazing night for me. My 11-year-old's the best day of his life just about. We watched the Braves close out. Astros had a great season, too. We love our crowd in Houston. But Braves win the World Series for the first time since 1995. And Republicans kick ass all across the country.
Winning.
It was an amazing night.
You're listening to Clay Travis and Buck Sexton on the EIB Network.